just bless your name today, Lord, just thanking you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord, all the grace that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. We just ask that your Holy Spirit just lead in this place today, Lord, that you will touch hearts and minds, Lord, that people will leave changed from whenever they got here, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Be seated. You know, we have been started a series last week on the book of Galatians, and we will be continuing that for throughout the rest of the summer. I broke this down into a lot smaller pieces than what a normal one is. So whenever you look at your bulletin, don't get too excited. I added in some extra ones in there that I kind of put two into one. So just from chapter two on, don't worry about them. We're going to go from 1:11 through 24. But what it's been speaking about and what this whole book is about grace. Grace plus nothing. And that's what salvation is, the gospel is grace plus nothing. There is nothing that you can add to salvation that we are to be saved but God's grace. And as I was looking through and just thinking about the word grace, and I'll read a definition that I got from Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible, and if some of y'all may have read that, and some of y'all may have seen that, or looked through Baker's, they have a great resource of definitions, you know, from the Bible, and talking about different topics, kind of the doctrine of grace, some systematic theology. So if you want to get into some deep systematic theology, I've got two large books in my office that you can just take on and read. It's probably going to take you about 2 years to read them. But grace is something that we can think of, or we can look at and thank God each and every day, because we are called by grace. And we are talking about Paul has written this letter. And last week we kind of talked about, you know, that there is one gospel. And that is the gospel of grace through which Christ saved us. And it is no other gospel out there, but other people try to push other gospels upon us. You know, well, you have to do certain things in order to be saved. You have to be circumcised in order to be saved. In that day, you know, with the Jewish tradition, you know, but they also, we would think of today as, well, you have to knock on a certain amount of doors in order to be saved. Folks, we don't have to knock on any doors to be saved. Why we knock on doors is because we are saved. And that's what it all goes, or all boils down to, is we do what we do not for salvation. We do what we do because of salvation. And I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you have been saved by grace. That you have received that grace in your life. And that God has done something miraculous within your life. And it has made a change inside of you. So don't think, well, Brother Jimmy says, I have to go knock on so many doors, or, you know, I'm not saved. You know, that's not the case. Well, Brother Jimmy says you have to come to church so many times in a month in order to be saved. That is not the case. You will read that nowhere in God's Word. But I will tell you, that is a result of your salvation, that you want to do them things. Not for your salvation, but because of your salvation. And there's a big difference within them two things. And that's what we look at today. If you'll go to the next slide, Anna. You know, we are called by grace, and grace, God's grace, transforms even the most unlikely of people. And that's something we can look at and we make and think of in our own lives. We think like, man, if God can change me, if God can save me, if His grace can make difference in my life, it can do it to anyone. That because I am one of the worst, I am a sinner that is saved by grace. Folks, and we need to recognize that, and we can't write off people because of their past, because of who they are in the present. Folks, we know that God's grace can do great and mighty things. Because if He can change Paul, He can change anybody. If He can change Paul, Saul into Paul, He can change anyone. And that is what we need to look at and how we need to see people on a daily basis. And when we look at them, knowing that God's grace can do great and mighty things. We need to look at people in a different light. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 11. It says, "But I made known to you, brother, that the gospel which was preached to you, or preached not according to man, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." And this is Paul speaking. "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son to me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 14 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterwards, I went into the region of Caesarea, and I was unknown by face to the church of Judea, you know, which were in Christ. They were hearing only, 'He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God in me.'" Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, Lord. How it is transformative, Lord, in our lives, Lord. How it transformed Paul in his life, Lord. Let us just draw nigh to you this morning with an open heart, Lord, to receive your grace. Lord, let your Holy Spirit work through you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at this passage, we think of, you know, the grace, the power of grace. You know, what is grace? One of the definitions or one of the things to talk about is unmerited favor. We receive favor that we do not deserve. And I was looking at a definition for grace here in point A2 here, and as I was looking at the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, it says the essential meaning, and just listen to this. This is good stuff right here. And it just gets gooder and gooder. The essential meaning of grace in the Bible refers to God's disposition of exercising goodwill toward His creation. creatures or his creation. This favorable disposition of God finds its supreme expression in Jesus Christ. By his very definition, this grace is rendered fully accessible to all humans with no other precondition than a repentant desire to receive it. Oh, I love that. So what is grace? It is Jesus Christ, God, sent his Son. Then we receive grace. We receive something that we did not deserve. And what was that? Jesus Christ. And what he did on the cross of Calvary, that he paid for our sins, that he died for me, and he died for you, and he died for the whole world. We did not deserve that, but God gave that to us freely. We can go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we can see where God showed grace on Adam and Eve after they had sinned, and he killed an animal, and he clothed them. He covered them. That was because of God's grace. What did they deserve? They deserved death. They deserved that God would separate them and God would kill them. But God did not do that because he loved them. And it's the same with us today. We receive that same unmerited favor in our lives. Because we are sinners, folks. We are separated from a loving God. We miss the mark. We do not measure up to God's standards. We fall short day after day, but God bestowed his grace upon us in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can receive salvation, so that we can be forgiven of our sins because Jesus has paid that penalty. And that's what Paul had received in his life. You know, we have this example of grace in our own lives. How many of you have experienced grace? Man, I have experienced grace in my life so many times, but the biggest was in June of 1990 when the Lord saved my wretched, ugly soul that did not deserve salvation, that was running from God, that was too prideful to accept him. And God still had favor on me, and he saved my wretched soul. And now I am saved today forevermore. Folks, I received that grace. And you have other times in your life where you have received grace that you did not deserve it, but God allowed you to have it anyway. Man, God is good like that. Man, is that unmerited favor in our lives that God loves us. And I love it. We talked about this on Wednesday night, you know, about the plan of salvation, you know, about how to share the gospel, and what is the easiest way, or one of the easiest ways to do it. You know, a set lineup is the Romans Road. Say, well, what is the Romans Road? You know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. What's the next passage? But God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you want a definition of grace, there it is. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us something that we did not deserve within our lives. Man, and aren't you so glad that God did that for you? Have you received his grace this morning in your life? We have this divine revelation, you know, that Paul has experienced. You know, in verses 11 and 12, he says, But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. May God show Paul, and Paul experienced that grace in himself. And he is out here to show it to other people. Man, God done a miraculous thing. He did a divine revelation to Paul. And Paul's encounter with Christ, we can see in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Well, where Paul met, or Saul at that time, met the Lord on the Damascus Road. And he met him, and he's seen a great light. And the Lord showed up. And he showed up. He showed up to Paul, and he showed him who he was. And Paul, he became Paul, and he became saved because God had mercy upon him. God has mercy upon Paul, which was doing what? He tells us in these next passages that he was persecuting the church, that he was his desire was to destroy the church because he was caught up in tradition. He was caught up in what he was taught in the Bible, that, well, we have to live by the law, and we have all these things that we have to do in order to be saved. And that's what a lot of people were teaching in that day, that they had no problem with salvation. They had a problem with how you got saved. Because they wanted you to continue to keep the law in order to be saved. And Paul, he recognized the love that Jesus had given him in his encounter, and how the transformative nature of God's revelation in his life changed him. In these next passages, it talks about that. You know, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous about the traditions of my father. So he gives in verses 13 and 14, he gives us, you know, what he or who he was. And Paul recognizes that. Paul don't make excuses. We have too many in this world. They want to make excuses. They want to put the blame on someone else. They want to put the blame on, well, someone else made me do it. Ain't no one made you do nothing but your wretched heart is what made you do it. And God loves you enough that he came to deliver you from that old wretched heart that you have. I was listening the other day and heard someone say, you know, people saying, we get caught up in our own lives, say, well, just follow your heart. You better not follow your heart, because your heart is wretched. Your heart will lead you astray. You better follow God's word. Follow what God's word says. Now, if your heart lines up with what God's word says, I will say, follow God's word. Still. Because we want to put that, because that gives people an avenue to feel or to make decisions upon their feelings, not upon the truth of God's word. Because the truth will do what? It will set you free. But your heart will lead you into bondage. Well, I feel that this is right. Well, you felt wrong to what God's word said. Because God's word is not a word in our life that is about, you know, how we feel. It's about what he says. And that's what Paul seen in his life, that, man, he was zealous. Man, he was all in. He was bought in to traditions of his youth, traditions that he had learned from. And he was above all others in his category. You know, in Judaism, he had learned from the best, and he was there to persecute the church. And if you go and you read, and y'all can write this down, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, you can see what he was going to do. He was going to take people and put them in jail because they believed in Jesus Christ. He hated Jesus Christ and all that it stood for until he met Jesus. And we look at our world today and we see all of these people that, you know, they just hate on Jesus Christ. They hate on Christianity. The only reason they hate on Jesus Christ, they hate on Christianity because they have never experienced the grace of God in their lives. And we need to experience that in our own lives, that God is wanting to do something. And he's wanting to transform us. What was the purpose, or the purpose of grace? In verses, we done read part of this, but in verses 13 through 16, you know, the transformation of our identity. You know, that we are no longer the same person that we once were. You know, from persecution to apostle, or persecutor to apostle. Could you imagine that the worst of the worst person that you know, that is the greatest sinner that you can even think of in this world that we live in, that they were transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that now they preach the gospel. They preach about Jesus. You know, we see this person, the purpose of is the grace is to transform our identity. From persecutor to apostle, from a new or to a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Can you see that in Paul's life? Old things, you know, have passed away. Paul didn't want anything to do with any of that anymore. After he had experienced the grace that God had given him, Paul did not want that. Paul is a new person in Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel does for us today. Whenever we are saved and we experience his grace, folks, it transforms us into a new person. Our desires start to change. Our wants start to change. Do they change just instantaneous, man? That, man, I'm a Christian today, or I'm a lost person today, I'm the worst of the worst, and now I'm a Christian. Folks, God is working in us and out of us his salvation. Man, he's doing these great things. What did Paul say, you know, within this passage, and starting in verse 15, says, and it pleased God when God separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me through his grace to reveal this son to me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with the flesh and the blood. Paul was still, whenever he got saved, man, it was a work in action. What did he do? He left there and he went off. And he learned. What did he do? He met up with Peter. Boy, Paul and Peter were probably the same on different areas. Paul or Peter was zealous about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter would mess up constantly because he loved Jesus so much. And then Paul was on the opposite side. So they came together, and Paul was taught by Peter. But Paul understood, because of the miraculous change that had happened in his life. Because now that Paul is a new person, he was commissioning for service. He was called to preach the gospel. And that's what's so great about this, you know, that he was called that I might preach him. He preached Christ among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So he went away to learn and to experience the things of Jesus Christ. He was called to preach. And I believe he started preaching immediately. He started telling people how Jesus Christ had transformed his life. The word preach in the Greek means to proclaim. So you do not have to sit up here behind a pulpit, up on a stage on Sunday morning to preach. You are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. You are to share what Jesus Christ has done for you. He was empowered for ministry. He was empowered to do what God had asked him to do. How was he empowered? Would you ask that? How was he empowered? How was he empowered? By the Holy Spirit. He received the Holy Spirit whenever he was saved. Whenever God showed up and God showed out in his life, he received the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He received the same Holy Spirit that you received whenever you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is not two different Holy Spirits. Not a Holy Spirit during the day of Peter and Paul and James and John and the apostles. He is the same Holy Spirit that is today. And he gives you the same power. That power means dynamite. He gives you that same power that we have today. We just need to learn how to use it. And that's through faith. Understanding his grace to give his gospel. We are empowered to do ministry just like Paul. So don't write someone off that has accepted Jesus Christ and now they're empowered to preach the gospel, to proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They can do just as much as we can do that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because they have the same thing we have. Because we are all equal at the foot of the cross. We put ourselves in categories. God does not. We're all sinners saved by grace. And God is here to save you today if you do not know him as Lord today. So this commissioning for service, and you were commissioned for service too. What is the Great Commission? He gives it to us. In Matthew chapter 28, you know, he gives us his Great Commission. To go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He has commissioned us to go out as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. We are commissioned for service. You ever seen a missionary? You know, they come and they surrender to ministry and they're fixing to go to a mission field. And they come into the church and they are commissioned to go out. I will tell you today that you're all missionaries. You do not have to go to Africa or you do not have to go to all these foreign countries in order to be a missionary. You are a missionary in Bearden, Arkansas, in Wichita County, in Calhoun County, in Dallas County, wherever you may live, you are a missionary right where you are. And you are commissioned and you are empowered for service through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So live in that. Understand what Christ has done for you. And in verses 17 through 24, it shows the proof of grace. A changed life is testimony. Folks, a changed life as testimony is proof of grace. It shows in who we are. In verse 17, it says, "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem, so those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned to Damascus." You know, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 14 days or 50 days, 15 days, I'm sorry. But I saw none other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I have written to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. And afterwards, I went down to Caesarea and Sicilia, and I was unknown by face in the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But listen to verse 23. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God. There was a transformation that happened. There was proof, and people saw it, and Paul was seeing it before them, you know, because they did not know who Paul was, because that some of them were afraid of Paul in the beginning, because Paul, they knew him as still as Saul, the ones who were coming to arrest. But now he is seeing that people are recognizing that, hey, we see the proof in his transformation. We see the proof of grace. A changed life as testimony. And Paul's life was changed, and people were seeing that. They said, hey, do you know that this guy who was once persecuting the church, now he is out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are saved by. People were recognizing that. In our lives, are people recognizing that we have been changed by the gospel? Are people recognizing that we are different than who we once were? Paul's life was evidence of grace. They see it. Paul recognizes it. They see the impact on the early church that Paul made because of the transformation that God has made in his life. Do you know that you can make an impact on the church today? God's church. By your testimony. By your transformation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You, not someone else. You can make an impact on the church today. Just release and let God do his work in your life. Paul made an impact on the early church by going to the Gentiles. Who in here is a Gentile? I am. I'm a Gentile. You know what a Gentile is? You're not a Jew. If you're a Jew, you can't raise your hand. But otherwise, you need to raise your hand because you are a Gentile. And Paul, seeing that he was sent to the Gentile to preach the gospel. And boy, the Jews did not like that. Does that sound familiar today? You know, I cut y'all some slack last week. I was a little short. Does that sound like someone today? Well, I don't know if I like them type people in my church. Well, I don't know if them people, they belong here. You know, they might need to go down the road somewhere else. You know, hey, I believe that they were saved, but they're really not welcome here in our church. That's what we see today within churches. That people that live by tradition don't want to see people that are different than them lived a different lifestyle than them, that were saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they don't fit in with us. God have mercy upon our souls. Because we are all here to experience grace, and you never know what someone is going through in their life that you can be there to help. And you may have someone come in to your church and, you know, they've been saved by God and they're on fire for the Lord. Well, they just need to cool down a little bit. You know, they're a little too excited about the Lord. No, we need to be ramped up a little bit, and we need to be more excited for the Lord. We need to light a fire and start receiving what the Holy Spirit has for us in our life. And what does that do? It glorifies God in our transformation. When people see that we have changed, we don't take credit for it. We give credit to God, because that's where it came from. Because you can't take credit for grace. Because what is grace? Unmerited favor. It's something that we do not deserve. We can't take it. We can't say, well, you know, I worked for that. No, you didn't. It was grace. So who is to be glorified? God is to be glorified. Is First Southern Baptist Church Bearden to be glorified? No. God is to be glorified. Is Brother Jimmy Owens to be glorified? No. God is to be glorified, because God is the one who is doing the transforming, and not us. And others' response to Paul's change, they were saved. Man, people, numerous people were saved, and we are here today because of the work that Paul did back in the first century. We are here today. We as Gentiles have received the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work that God did through Paul, that we would have his word. Who wrote the majority of the New Testament? Paul. Because of the experience and the transformation power that Paul had received. And our lives reflecting God's grace in this world should change this world. And I would ask us today, is our lives transformed, reflecting God's grace in this world? Because if we receive grace, what are we to give? Grace. Because a lot of people, we say, they don't deserve it. Neither did we. It's not our job to say, you know, well, they deserve it. They don't. God is the one who saved. We are going and we are bestowing grace upon others because of what God has done in our lives. But God's grace is the grace that saves. So as we think about this morning and look at God's grace transforms the evil, or even the most unlikely. Well, them people are too bad. That God will never save them. They'll never be changed. You don't know that. We are to show them the love that Christ showed us, and let God do the work. I would ask you this morning, you know, as we think about, you know, God's grace, have you received God's grace? What does God's grace do for us? It transforms us. Have you been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life? God wants to do mighty and great things in your life, but we have to surrender to Him. Because we do have a free will. Sometimes I wish I didn't have a free will. Sometimes I wish that God would just say, do this, and I did that. But God wants us to do it freely that he gave us and the love that we have for him. Do you love the Lord this morning? Has he transformed you? Are you different than you were before you gave your life to Jesus? You should be. Paul gives us that example. And there's numerous others in God's Word that shows us that example. So as we have a time of invitation this morning, I would ask you, that to surrender your life to the Lord. To give your life to service to Him. But first, you have to know Him. You have to receive His grace. And you receive His grace through faith. You trust in Him. Lord, I've never seen you, Lord, but I hear what your word says, Lord, and your Holy Spirit's convicting me in my life, Lord, and I want to be saved, Lord. I want to receive your grace, Lord. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life, Lord, and be Lord and Savior of my life. That's step number one. And if you've done that, and now it's time for sanctification. It's time to grow in Him. Are you living out what God has done in your life? Have you been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you are living in that transformed lifestyle. The old person has gone away, and all things have become new. I pray that that is you today, and if it isn't, I pray that you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, that you will accept the Lord as your Savior today, and if you have, that you will grow closer to Him, that you will be in service to Him in whatever He asks you to do. Let's all stand this morning as we pray and have a song of invitation. Lord, we just come before your mercy seat, Lord, just thanking you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord, the grace that you have bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. Lord, his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, Lord, his death, his burial, and his resurrection is all by your grace, Lord, for all of us here today and all of us within our communities and all of us around the world. If we would but accept. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that does not know you, has not received your grace, Lord, that today would be that day that they would be transformed by your grace. And others, Lord, that they would grow in their relationship with you, Lord, that they would grow in their love, Lord, for you, Lord, and their being transformed and doing service. Lord, just let your Holy Spirit do the work in the hearts of men and women.